Live and Lansing with Michael Cohen. This is More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
And we're back. Michael Cohen with producer Desi Simmons. A new University of Michigan study focusing on men that abuse women and some of the underlying dynamics that lead to partner abuse. To talk about the research, I'm joined by Dan Saunders, professor of social work at U of M and the study's lead author. Thank you for joining me, Dan.
Hi, Michael. You're welcome.
It seems like this is a societal problem we hear a lot about, and everyone knows it's wrong, yet it seems to persist. In general, is there a sense of how common the abuse of women in relationships really is?
The better studies show that it affects about one-third of all relationships, but that includes, of course, any form of pushing, shoving, restraining, which we also need to be very concerned about because that can change the whole power dynamics in the relationship. The good news is that the rates are going down. Domestic homicide, domestic violence that's not lethal. Over the last 20 years, we've seen a real decrease in the rates of violence.
Before we get to the specifics of your study, I wonder what percentage of abusers actually are able to change their behavior and maybe abuse once or twice and never do it again?
Well, that's where some of the bad news is. By the time these patterns get ingrained, by the time a person is in their 20s and early 30s, it's very difficult to change the behavior. About one-third of them stop their behavior after treatment, but the better controlled studies show that a lot of that would have ended anyway, and the treatment effects are not all that great. There's about a 5% lower recidivism rate for men that complete the special intervention programs.
So while a solution obviously seems to be hard to find, your study focused on some of the reasons and dynamics for these repeat abusers, and you focused on male abusers to determine, you know, what factors those are. Can you tell me what it is you found about these men that repeatedly abuse women?
Well, one of the factors was the original attraction they had to their partner. And the men who were more likely to say that they were attracted for physical reasons as opposed to things like companionship and having things in common, the more likely they were to repeat their violence even though they had completed a special intervention program. So this seems to fit in with the whole idea that the more that a person is objectified, the more they're seen as an object, the more likely it is then to perpetrate violence.
Does this superficiality run both ways? I mean, if one partner values a person for their physical attributes, could the other in turn value their partner for financial attributes?
Well, in general, in nonviolent relationships, what attracts people is what they have in common, common interests, common goals, values. And when it comes to men in general, it is attractiveness, physical attractiveness, that is a big factor. And we found with these men that they often put down or mentioned in the interviews that they were attracted for physical traits like her looks and her smile. And at the same time, they also mentioned non-physical traits like her communication style, her being outgoing. But then when we look specifically at men who only put down physical traits, that's what concerned us. And it fits in some ways with the research on men who stalk and rape a stranger, with child molesters, the view that they're seeking someone who's more vulnerable, seeking someone who they can take advantage of.
Well, it seems like that most men are attracted to women, at least partially, for their physical attributes and their personal attributes. What is it that makes abusers somehow different than a man that would appreciate those same qualities in a partner himself that is not an abuser?
Well, in some ways, they're not different. What we found, though, was that those men who exclusively looked at physical traits as opposed to any other traits were the ones that were most likely to repeat their violence. They were also the more likely to have been severely violent before the relationship, picking her up and throwing her bodily, hitting her with objects. They were the more likely to mention their own needs as reasons that they were attracted to their partners. So it's a constellation of factors for this one type of the most severe abuser. And then we have other types of abusers as well. One who's very emotionally dependent on the partner, and they're looking for different traits, someone who can take care of them. And those men have a different pattern of abuse, yelling, screaming, driving recklessly when she's in the car to frighten her. So we have now a chance to look at different types of abusers and some different outcomes, so some ways to predict who's going to do better in these special programs.
Now, all these abusers, are they across the board men that were raised and were around abuse themselves? Is that the underlying issue here?
That is very common, especially this type that I'm talking about, who continues to be violent, who is most severely violent, and he does often have a pattern of exposure to violence, witnessing mom being beaten up by a parent, and really stuffing down all of that psychological pain for many, many years, and turned out to be the bully on the playground, the kid who got in trouble in high school, who was violent in many different settings.
I'm talking to Dan Saunders, a professor of social work at the University of Michigan, and the lead author of a study focusing on abusers, male abusers, who repeatedly abuse, and some of their qualities and traits. You know, Dan, I can't help but wonder, research like this, can it in some ways help women avoid these kinds of men, or even help these abusive men begin to consider changing their behavior?
Well, it may be one more indicator of what we need to work on in treatment to help look at women as equal partners, as a companion, as someone that these men can relate to as people. And in terms of women looking for certain types to avoid, it's very difficult because many of these men have a lifetime of learning how to look good. They've been injured physically, psychologically in childhood, but they're very good at holding that down and not revealing all of that to women. And they often are very charming. And so one piece of advice is, if he looks too good to be true, he probably is. These men are sometimes the super charmers, know how to wind a person in, make a partner very dependent. And sadly, one of the things with young women in particular, the more controlling and jealous a partner is, the more they interpret that as a sign of love. So we do have a lot of work to do with high school women, college women in particular, helping them see that controlling behavior is a danger sign rather than a sign of love.
I mean, how subtle is the process? Because, I mean, when we're talking about abuse, you mentioned there are all types of abuse, all types of levels of abuse. And so it's not all violent, physically aggressive abuse. And as you're saying, it's not even something that happens right away. It can kind of, it essentially eases and slowly develops over time.
Definitely.
So what does that process involve, and how does abuse slowly become ingrained into a relationship?
Well, it may start with restricting her behavior. You know, I don't like any of your friends, or I don't want to hang out with you and your friends. Let's just go off on our own. And so the isolation begins in that way. And as I said, she can interpret that as a sign of love rather than a sign of control. And then it may be months into the relationship where she does something against his will, and there'll be a slap or a yell. And, you know, then she will perhaps blame herself, try to forgive him. And the men often cry when that happens, or they'll say it'll never happen again. And she wants to believe that, just like anyone in a relationship wants to believe that it's going to work, and will hold on to this dream for a long time. And then as she gets more dependent, his violence will often escalate. And by that time, she can be very psychologically and often physically trapped in the relationship, fearing that if she leaves, she'll be stalked and killed.
Finally, how do these men view the abuse in their own mind? I mean, how do they view their behavior? Is it something that they know is bad, or do they think of it as just part of their personality that's a little bit out of control?
Well, many of them feel entitled. They grew up with abuse in their home, and that's a way to control others around them. For other men, it's more psychological. It's trying to hold on because their greatest fear is that she's going to leave, and he believes that he won't really have a life if she's not there in his life.
Do you think that people... people that have not been in an abusive relationship, they have a hard time relating, and typically they're shocked. They think, my God, how can you be with a person that mistreats you or disrespects you? What is it that they don't fully grasp about this type of dynamic?
Well, part of it is the gradualness of getting hooked in. Part of it is not seeing all of the invisible ties, the kind of psychological traps that are there, and then also the realistic fear that things will get worse if she leaves, including stalking, harassment, and homicide. The rates of homicide go up after separation. And so there's also the very realistic fears that he will become more dangerous. And so she believes that and stays trapped in the relationship. And many, many women who said, I would never put up with this, I would never be involved in a violent relationship, still find themselves caught in the web.
Dan Saunders, professor of social work at the University of Michigan and the lead author of a new study that studies men, abusive men, and some of the underlying dynamics involved in their abuse. Thank you for joining me.
You're very welcome.